welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. This week we're going to be talking about Steam Next Fest. Demos, demos, and more demos. My name is Bobby.
My name's Nick.
And I am grumpy, god damn it. I went on a overnight camping trip. Decided to sleep outside under the stars. Multiple mistakes were made. I didn't bring a sleeping mat, so I slept right on the floor. It was hard as shit. And it was a full moon, and it was so bright, dude. It was like having a spotlight in your eyes all night. I couldn't sleep. I slept like 2 hours last night. Took a nap on the way in, feeling a little better. Got a little booze in my blood, making me lighting a fire under my ass. And then, but I did see two cool things while we were out there. We saw the SpaceX launch, which when you're in California, you see those about every 2 weeks. But sometimes it's too cloudy. So we saw that. But we also saw a comet, a new comet that they didn't know about. But yeah, we saw both of them. It was pretty crazy.
Isn't that fucking nuts that there's like a division of NASA that is like, yes, we look for all the comets and we identify all of them. And then one passes by. They're like, we forgot about that one. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're scared of, right? That's the Earth Enders, the ones that we don't know about.
Yeah, they're going so fast that we can't perceive them.
Yeah, fuck it. Why even try?
All right, what are we plugging this week?
DLGCon is coming up November 1 through 1st through the 3rd. We are going to be doing giveaways. We have like some one-year passes to Game Pass, Ultimate. We're also going to be renting some servers. We're going to do some PUBG action. I like having a PUBG server ready to go, because no matter how many, like, let's say we get a shock amount of people, like, we could fit them all. We're not going to get 100 people. So that'll be really cool. I mean, I've never played with a bunch of people that just I know, you know? I think that's a really cool way to play it. Amongst other games, we're going to be dynamic and jumping around whatever we can, whatever the crowd wants. Mob rules, but there is some structure to it. We will be, me and Tech Laura are going to have a meeting this week and nail it all down and put it up. And so make some time. Tell the in-laws they got to fuck off. You got some gaming to do.
All right. And what are those dates again? That's November
1st through 3rd.
November 1st through 3rd. Put it on the calendar, folks.
I have a child's birthday party to go to on one of those days, like 2 hours. But it's going to be insane. Five-year-olds at essentially a Chuck E. Cheese, and there's going to be like 30 of them.
Damn.
Yeah, that sounds awful. All right.
You're telling me, dude.
Let's move into the section here where we ping things, something noteworthy that we'd like to quickly draw to everyone's attention. And it looks like Emilio is the only person that has something to ping this week.
That's unexpected.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that usually I just default to Nick, because if it has 40K or anything like that, I'm like, oh, he's going to get it. He did not get this one. Space Marine 2 has a new texture pack coming out. And it's bigger than the original game. So it's 95 gigabytes and the original game is 75. So, but it's free. So this is just a luxury item to have. It also ups the requirements quite a bit too. So not only do you need to have a lot of storage, you need to have a lot of horsepower. But then it solves the problem that I was complaining about, where if anything in that game is underwhelming, it's the graphics, just a little bit, just not like
everyone says that this is the E3 demo, like, graphics patch, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, when you go, when you saw things at E3 and you're like, it looks a lot way better than it did when on release. This is what people are talking about. I did catch this, but I'm like, I don't have a 4K monitor. I don't have a computer that can run things at 4K, so it's not in my wheelhouse. But it looks beautiful.
It does look good. It does look good. I'm glad that they're doing that free. I think that's the right way to do it. You guys are lame. Can't ping a single thing. Jeez.
I got so much to talk about this week, dude.
Yeah. I was gonna bring up that little snafu where they were demoing Star Citizen live and the game crashed in the middle of the live demo.
No.
Brought back flashbacks to that what was it, Windows 95, when it blue screened in a live demo. Yeah. But I don't know. I didn't think that was all that ping worthy, but here I am mentioning it. Let's move on to highlights. These are games that we have played. And surprise, surprise, this week it's going to be a lot of demos because Steam Next Fest is happening. So this is the time of year where Steam puts up a lot of different demos from a lot of different developers who have games that are not quite ready for release, but they want to show them off, give you a quick slice of gameplay and get you excited about it. It's honestly one of the best times of the year because it really, playing a bunch of short games like demos really accommodates my gaming lifestyle at the moment. Like, I never really get that deep into games. So I love just playing like 1 hour of an unfinished game and then passing judgment on it. But
that's what I do all year long, dude. Yeah.
The one thing that they ask you not to do at the beginning of every demo, they're like, this is unfinished product. Please don't light us on fire on the internet, please. Like every fucking
time. I do want to say that, I think I used to complain about that. The demos have a shelf life. Generally, it's like just during that for next fest, or it goes a couple days after, and then you don't have access. Even if you have it downloaded, you can't play it. But now I'm turning the page. Like, I think I like it more because this time I was like, I gotta play these. Like, it makes it a little more special. It has to happen now during next fest. So every once in a while.
Yeah, now that you know there's a window.
Yeah, exactly. You got to jump on it, and it makes it more special.
So, meanwhile, I participated without even realizing it. my buddy is like, hey, they got this new game. We should play it. And so there's a demo, and I'm like, all right, I'll play it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, I heard about this on Next Fest. And I'm like, that sounds familiar. And yeah, lo and behold, we'll talk about that.
What was the game, Nick?
I'll talk about it right now. So it is Delta Force. It is a first-time publisher, first-time developer game, and it is very interesting to say the least, and my link is wrong on there, poop. It is linking to DayZ, Frost, whatever, but it's called Delta Force, and it is a clone of a lot of things, and this is, the way I start off the description of the game, kind of, you can tell what is happening and what is going on with the gameplay and the what they're trying to achieve for their players to feel. So there's three game modes. One game is not accessible right now, and that's the story mode. However, they have another game mode, and it's like a little Tarkov clone. It's like the inventory looks real, real, real familiar. The sorting and things like that is really nice. But how do I say this without sounding really bad? It feels soulless. It feels like you're playing a slot machine because everything you do, there's a fucking pop-up. And there's another game that does that, and that's PUBG. And they're adhering to a certain audience. And that audience has gameplay expectations and gameplay requirements that are just annoying as shit when it's not your cup of tea. Every time you play a match, there's six fucking pop-ups.
Pop-ups.
To level up your gun, you have to click like 11 different things. Everything is a blatant copy of another thing. It's not even a joke. The Tarkov game mode, hey, I'm going to start over on the describing how the game actually plays. So it's Call of Duty gameplay, like speed-wise, like running around and shooting. It is Battlefield multiplayer and Tarkov
game mode. As in, like, mode. Very large?
Yes and no. So there's two main game modes that you could play for the demo. There's a Tarkov mode, which is pretty much just Tarkov with a way, way better, I shouldn't say better, but smoother engine. I don't like it because it's not as realistic as far as, like, injuries and things like that. It's a very arcadey way of doing it. But the big multiplayer mode, like the one that, like, it's 50 versus 50, is a blatant Battlefield copy. Like, it's not even close. They just call their game modes a little differently, and there's no difference. It's Rush and it's Conquest, and that and domination. That's it. There is no, there's nothing else. The reason why I call this game soulless is that it does the same thing that the previous Battlefield did, the 2047 or whatever it's called, where they kind of removed classes. Now you have operators, and all the operators have special abilities or special items, and everyone looks the same. Instead of being able to customize your character with like interesting like armor and interesting things like that, even though it doesn't do anything, you just get to look cooler. But yeah, they're all the operators, and all the operators are super fucking racist / typographic. Essentially, the black guy has a super African accent. Like the one white guy is, or the one of the two white guys is an American guy who loves explosives from Florida. The other white guy is a questionably sexual person from Australia. Meanwhile, one of the Asian ladies is like a Korean lady, and she's an archer. And it and then the other two characters, it's like, all right, what are we doing here? They make a lot of the non-American weapons better than the American ones on purpose. And then the other thing that is soulless is that there's no countries, there's no factions. So every team has the same vehicles. Every team has the same guns.
You think this is going to be free to play, Nick?
Everyone thinks it is. Everyone in the chat, everyone thinks it's going to be free to play. Also, yeah. The voice chat / typing chat is unhinged. It feels like I'm back in 2009 again, dude. I'm like, oh my god.
Is this a hard pass, Nick?
I mean, judging by how Battlefield, like EA announced that the next Battlefield is going to be modern, like as in like now, like there will be loitering munitions. There will be all kinds of stuff like drone based warfare, anti-drone based warfare. They're basing a lot of things from Ukraine, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. But the other thing that they do is they will mention real countries. That's the best part about when you played Battlefield 4, you're like, I'm America, we're facing China. You're like, hell yeah, dude. Or like, I'm like, whatever, and I'm facing whatever. That was like one of the best parts of the game, was the fact that like, yes, my tank looks visually different from the other team. My helicopter looks
different.
Not just
that, but drives differently, attacks differently, has its own quirks.
Everything has its own like panache. Like even in Battlefield 5, like there is... there's a clear distinction between all the German tanks and all the American tanks. And the German tanks are way tougher and they have huge guns. While the American tanks, you get more of them. Like the Japanese tanks are Japanese tanks. And that's just self-sufficient to say, cause they're fucking awful. And it Delta Force, it like, once again, it feels soulless. Can you turn off your brain and play it for a little while? Yes. And that's what happened to me and my friends. We were playing the game. We had fun for the first 40 minutes because we were like, ooh, something cool, something new, whatever. Like, we love first-person shooter games. There hasn't been one we can play in a while. After the first 2 hours, we're like, this is boring.
Yeah. It literally sounds like somebody was on coke and is like, let's just get the best part of every first-person shooter and put it in one game. That's going to be fucking awesome. And we're going to make so much money. Free to play. They're going to put so much money, you know? I feel like that's what's going on.
It's a clear Chinese ripoff of a lot of games that sell well.
Yeah. Oh, children. You don't see children very much in these games. Just all children.
Oh, yeah. I think that's in the campaign mode. So the campaign mode is interesting. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do about that, because apparently they're doing a Black Hawk Down mission. So like actual Delta Force history. And I'm like, okay, let's see how this is told by a different country. But yeah, that's what I played, and that's pretty much all I'll be talking about for Next Fest.
All right. What you got, Bobby?
Oh, I got a few things here. So the thing I like about Next Fest is it really gives the underdogs a chance. So I always play the games that I never even heard of, just came out of nowhere, but they looked interesting. So the first one that I'll mention is called Card Weapon Shop. First of all, love that name, right to the point, very clear. Card Weapon Shop. No extra mustard on that name there. Didn't get creative.
Nothing, just salt and pepper, dude.
Yeah. Now this is, and that's very in line with the theme of this game. It is an item crafting and shop management game. visually represented by cards. It really has the feel of a tabletop game. It looks like solitaire when you look at it, but it really feels like you're playing a tabletop game. So let me give you an example. You've got a tree card on there. If you put your employee card on the tree card, the employee starts whacking away and turning that into lumber. And then you get a lumber card eventually. So that's basically the gist of it. You do that, you create resources, you use those resources to create machinery and other things, other resources as well. And then you make money by selling that. Other cool, interesting things can happen too. A thief showed up in my shop, and he just hung out there for a while, and then he started stealing my things, and then I had to move my employee card onto the thief card, and they started fighting. So my employee couldn't turn the trees into lumber, or the mud into clay, or any of my resources. He was busy fighting this thief forever. So I lost like a day and a half because of that. But it was either that or let him steal all my stuff, and that's not gonna happen.
Or get more employees.
Yeah. Well, they only give you 14 days in the demo, which doesn't really give you too much time to get deep into this. It's a really great concept. I like the game. I like the design of it. The problem is with the recipes. So you discover the recipes and you learn what to craft. So I really needed flint to move forward, and I could not figure out the recipe for flint. You can unlock recipes by spending a bunch of resources, or you can just like put a bunch of cards together and see if that does something. And if it does, like, congratulations, you've unlocked a resource. So I think that's cool. There's two ways. But the problem is I kept spending resources to unlock recipes, and it was giving me resource. When you play a survival game, like, your first recipe is like, here's an axe or a spear. They don't say like, oh, your first recipe is an aircraft carrier. You know, good luck crafting that 20 hours later into the game, you know, but that's what this game does. It kept giving me these recipes for things that I could not craft until way later. And I'm like, look, man, I just need some flint. I don't need a masonry table or a wood saw. I need flint. And like, how do I make a nail? You know, I'm like, let's start small here. So I wish the game would have kind of limited the recipes that you can unlock at the beginning of it, especially in a demo, because I spent the whole demo just doing the same thing, getting a bunch of resources, spending them on getting more resources, and then eventually spending those to unlock recipes, and then just getting recipes that I couldn't even use. It wasn't the best experience, but I think the game's got a good idea and it needs some polish. And if it can do that, if it can kind of like focus its gameplay, especially in the early game, I think this will be really cool.
It reminds me a lot of the City Builder that's card based.
Very similar. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just can't remember the fucking name.
Yeah, it was like, you know those game jams that they have? Mm-hmm. And it's one of the ones that won the game jam. One of the years. Yeah, it was, I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I can't remember Stacks? The name of that.
Stacks?
That sounds right. I think it had Stack something. In the title. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, ordinarily this recipe problem wouldn't be so bad because you could go online and just look everything up. I know that's not exciting gameplay, but technically you could do that and then craft the recipes that way. But because this is such a new, obscure game, like, you're not going to be able to find this with Google searches. So,
hey, no, Bobby, let's do a little back and forth here. So I played Streets of Rogue 2, and, you know, this is one of I really like Streets of Rogue 1. It's just kind of like this top down roguelike chaos engine where you're a person, different kind of class. There's like 20 classes, whether it be a comedian, a zombie, an alien, a gorilla, like you could be all these crazy things, and all. Each person you can be has all these interactions. Like, a gorilla hates scientists because they're always trying to so you got to stay away from the scientists, which means you got to stay away from doctors, which means you can't get healed. Also, you can't talk, so you can't buy anything from the shops. But if you're a zombie, you can turn other people into zombies, but everybody hates you. So you know, it's all plus and minuses. And so I really love that game. It can devolve into utter chaos. You could start your first mission and 10 seconds in, the building exploded and it's game over. There's just too many things went wrong and it's all random. So I love that shit. Anyway, so you were talking about putting your employee on the tree. And you know,
terrible, by the way.
They added crafting to Streets of Rogue. So my second mission was go chop down a tree, and I was like, oh my god, are we going in the right direction here, guys? Like, chop down a you had it all. I don't want to say too much because obviously it's in early access, like, but sometimes adding crafting is not. Or adding things at all is not good. But what they did do right was they went from 8-bit to 16-bit graphics. The graphics are so much better. The levels are much, much bigger. They added cars so you can get around. There's new factions like the cultists. What else did I see? There's like doctors and nurses and like, I don't know, like, I didn't play it too much. So, but yeah, there's definitely obviously other more stuff going on, more things to, you have to watch out for. And then, building and crafting, which, you know, you can make your own buildings, but I don't know if that's fun. Is it just us, Bobby? Is it just me and you that don't like to make fucking chop down a tree and turn it into something to call your own?
Well, I think when you introduce crafting into a game, it really stretches out the gameplay. And if you're very time sensitive, like you and me, you don't like that. Like,
yeah.
Once you tell me like, hey, you're going to need to start chopping down trees for resources, I'm like, oh boy, I know where this is going. And I got a 3 o'clock today. Like, I cannot do that.
And longer doesn't mean better. You know, if it takes longer, that doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
Just because I'm going to spend more time on your game.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that was really great about Streets of Rogue was the co-op, too. And those interactions you were describing between the different types of characters, those really got funny when you were trying to actually work with somebody. So if you were, a gorilla was on the team, we had a really good combo. I can't remember what it was.
It was Soldier. Soldier and Doctor?
It might have been, which is not like the most creative thing in the world. Like, obviously, those are going to go together, but yeah, you got like a
huge... Because of basic game tropes for any situation.
Because the Doctor could chloroform people if we had to go quiet, but if we had to go loud, the Soldier's got like 4 different weapons, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool. So I hope they don't fuck the basic formula. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Let's go back to you, Bobby. All right. Back to you in the field.
Back to you in the field of I hate music and video games.
The next game I'm going to talk about is called Bloodshed. So if you look at this game, your first reaction is going to be, okay, this is just another boomer shooter, right? Not exactly. So Bloodshed is a first-person shooter, but it is a survivor-like with retro graphics. I don't know if I've seen this yet. I've seen first-person shooter roguelikes before, Immortal Redneck, Ziggurat, but I don't know if I've seen a survivor-like with a first-person shooter point of view.
Immortal Redneck. I love that title.
Yeah, such a weird, interesting name. And the game is just so out there. You're like this mummy redneck. I think you're fighting in pyramids or something. Anyway, so Bloodshed... Really interesting idea here. Visually, the game is very similar to the old Doom games. There's lots of zombies and spirits and demons and things like that. It's got all the standard meta progression of a survivor's like. You unlock characters' abilities, spend money on permanent upgrades. You get stronger the more you play, but then you have these individual runs that last for about maybe half an hour or so. What's interesting about this is it's a first-person shooter, but because it's a survivor like, they turn on auto shoot. So your gun, if it's pointed at an enemy, the trigger gets pulled. Like, it just goes. Now, you can turn this off in the settings, and they let you know that right up front. I tried it both ways. Honestly, with auto shoot on, it's just fine. It just saves your finger more strain. But it is an interesting way to play a first-person shooter. It feels a lot like those rhythm first-person shooters. I can't remember the names of them, but Emilio, you played a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of feels like one of those games. It's also got the same survivors like thing where you pick up different abilities and they do different things and like auto fire for you as you're moving around. So like, in addition to firing whatever weapon you have equipped, you can get like these heat seeking skulls, or they're like an AOE circle that just will randomly like shoot out in front of you and attack enemies. What doesn't make sense though is the weapon that you equip. So this is like a shotgun, a machete, an Uzi or an AK-47 rocket launcher, you know, the standard first person shooter stuff. So you can upgrade these weapons and you can switch between them. Like I can go between my pistol and my rocket launcher, but there's infinite ammo in this game. And because you're leveling one thing up, like if I get my rocket launcher to level 8, I'm not switching off that for the machete, like ever. There's no like, this weapon is good against this enemy and this other weapon's good against those types of enemies. There's none of that. It's just, so the whole like weapon switching thing feels a little pointless. I don't know if, you know, a demo, one hour gameplay, like, who knows, but
you know, you can, like, maybe it's more of a flavor thing, dude. Like, you know, I want to hack things up. And so that's the one you level up as opposed to.
Yeah. But I mean the machete, like your objective is to kill as many enemies as possible. You're going to use the best weapon for the job. Like, obviously, if you get the rocket launcher, you're just going to use the rocket launcher. You're not going to be like, let me pull out the machete and start whacking people when I got a bazooka on my shoulder, you know? I mean, but you know what? That does happen in a lot of first-person shooter games, too. Like, even Doom, you have the pistol at first, and then you get the shotgun, and then you never go back to the pistol ever again. I mean, maybe if you run out of ammo, like, you might do it, but typically, no.
This is weird, Bobby. It's almost like we're, like, circling back around to, like, once you take a survivor-like and then make it first-person... Now you're coming back over to like a roguelike first person. So I feel like it's Ziggurat or very close to Ziggurat.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I guess just the auto shoot and the automatic abilities make it feel like a survivor-like. And it's also got that same general type of structure where you play the round, which I guess comes from a roguelike. What's interesting about the survivors-like games is they started off with Vampire Survivors, which was just boiled down to the most simple idea you could possibly imagine.
Right.
And then now all these new versions are slowly pulling it back in the other direction. And we're kind of finding the middle ground on what we really like about it. But I don't know. That's what's great about game design. People just iterate off of new ideas and improvise and come up with cool new things.
It's so weird to me to see a auto shoot first person shooter.
Odd for sure.
I don't know if this is going to do well. I hope the best for all game developers that aren't ripping things off. But good luck, guys. This is very interesting.
I'm going to go over it really quick because we're talking about a lot of games here. Nick talked about Delta Force. Then I talked about Streets of Rogue 2. And Bobby has talked about Card Weapon Shop and Bloodshed. Bobby's the only person on earth that likes that name. Card Weapon Shop. All right. I played a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game and I liked it. Yeah, man, it was cool. So it's obviously heavily inspired by Hades. Same view, same kind of boon system. They call them turtle powers, but it's obviously like different. There's also a lot of dialogue going on. I mean, if you wanted it, it's there, and it's not half bad, really. The story's not terrible, but I am skipping past most of it. But besides that, so yeah, you go from room to room. You're making a build as you go. It's like your standard roguelike. But I think what really sets this apart, it looks good, it handles good. As far as auto, like we were talking about auto shooting, if you start attacking your combo, it's just going to go to the nearest opponent. You don't even have to aim, which I thought was kind of weird, but it's very fast paced because you have multiple opponents all attacking you, and you know, they have their cone attacks and their circle attacks and their straight attacks and line attacks, and it's all like on the floor and you can see what's going to come. So you have to be very nimble, and it's very fast paced. And so I think they put that auto aim in there because so much is going on that maybe, you know, aiming also would have been a little too much, because you got to be moving. You got to be schmoving the whole time, dude. And that's what makes it fun. Like, I felt like you have to be a little ninja out there. It's more about not getting hit than hitting. You also have these things called tools. You have your special, which is one thing, but you also have a thing called a tool, which can be swapped out. It's like a, I played mostly Raphael, and he has like a grappling hook, and I really liked it. I like the mechanics behind it, but you can switch it out while you're getting boons and stuff. There's so many things you can upgrade. You can get fire or water boons, or you can get what is it? Microsoft Defender summary. No, thank you. You can get
it's just like a fucking dog moment. You're like squirrel.
Well, it was super loud in my ears. Yeah, or you can add crit, or you can make your tool better, or you can make your special better. There's a lot of options. So they, much like my Hades, it's pretty much somebody was like, let's make Hades with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What's going to set this game apart from Hades is the multiplayer. You can do couch co-op, or you can do multiplayer online. I don't know how many players you can go up to, but this is a solid game, guys. There's like nothing wrong with it. Out of all the games that I played, this is the one that I want to continue playing the most. But I feel like you're probably just going to blow through it in a few hours, and then, but whatever, if it's $15, I think that's a nice little price point for it. It's definitely not a AAA game, but it is not a bad game. I really enjoyed it. And one other thing I want to talk about was, you know, games, you're constantly smashing pots or boxes or crates or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't know if you're going to get anything in them. And this one highlights the ones that have shit in it. Huh. And I feel like it just cuts down on so much of the time of you like breaking every box. They do it in Hades too, but they kind of glimmer and it's very like slight. This one is like a purple beacon. It's like, this is the box, bro. This, yeah. Really want to. Yeah. And I don't know where I'm at on this, dude. I have so many conflicting things. Like, one, like, it's fun because you're searching and you get something. But on the other hand, it's such a big waste of time if you hit 50 boxes and never get anything. And so I guess this is a happy medium. Do you guys even have an opinion on this? Because like, I'm so conflicted.
I don't even break crates or boxes in games anymore. It's just like, I don't play that game. Like, that's just, you're killing
Bobby,
me with that stupid
stuff. What game
stuff.
Are you looking for nowadays?
Bobby, would you play it if they had highlighted boxes? Would you break it if it was highlighted?
Would I what?
Would you break the box if it was highlighted?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, then I would. Yeah. Because I know there's obviously going to be a reward in there. But I'm not going to play like, you know, like, guess which box has an item in it. And like 90% right. of the time, it feels like in games they don't have something in there.
No, so they don't.
I never do that in games anymore. I'm just like, nope, I'll do without 5 extra ammo or whatever's in that could possibly be in that box. I do like the name of the developer on this game, Super Evil Megacore. That's fun.
That is.
I don't think I ever said the name. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Splintered Fate. Because Splinter got,
oh my god,
abducted.
Their teacher who's a rat.
Yeah.
And this game is coming out November 6th, so it's got a release date 2 weeks away. We'll be seeing this game.
Yeah, and it's ready. It's the most ready out of all the games that I play.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what game is not ready, and that's Twas the Night. Out of all the games that I played, this one was probably the most disappointing here. Needs the most work. It's got a great concept, and that's really where it ends.
That's really the end of the statement.
So the idea here is it's a city builder, but you are managing Santa's workshop at the North Pole, and you have to make toys for all the kids around the world. You get letters. They tell you what they want. You handle the production, build the shops, and your currency is Christmas spirit. So I was like, yeah, this is a great idea. The execution, not so great, though. The game's got lots of issues with the UI. Just really fundamental things like, you know, the text just hanging outside of borders, or like things skipping when you try to click on them, weird stuff like that. But probably more important, the objectives of the game and how to achieve them are completely unclear. You have to generate Christmas spirit. And I guess you do that by making toys for kids, but I don't really understand how you get the letters in and then you see like, okay, these are the toys that I can make. And I gotta be honest, man, I don't understand like what I'm supposed to do with this game. Like they had like so many of these demos, they have like some text up front that say like, okay, you know, click here to do this, click here to do that. And as soon as that was over, I was completely lost. It was like, okay, and the game starts. And it constantly counts down. You can't pause it like some city builders and stop and think. Can't do that in this one. It just keeps counting down. Christmas is coming. Oh, there's Christmas, and game over. Like, what? What did I do?
There's a hard end.
Now, Bobby, let me give you a little warning of how I saw this. There's warning signs. One is the release date is October 14th. Which it's now October 20th.
I think that's for the demo.
What?
I don't know why they would put that release date there, but I'm pretty sure that is for the demo.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it usually doesn't go there, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, they're fucking up the whole thing from top to bottom, basically.
Is this made by AI?
It would be better, I think.
I mean, I don't know who's making this game or what experience they have making games, and you know, I don't want to like bash on them or anything. This they've got a really cool idea here, but there's obviously just something that I don't understand about it. So I feel like there could be some better instruction or better tutorializing in the game, especially for the demo. You know, this one's real rough. Like a demo, you've got a very short amount of time to sell somebody on your game. You want to give them a little snapshot, something that's not going to overwhelm them or confuse them, but also show off like what's cool about your game. And I don't think this one really succeeds with that, unfortunately, but you know what? Could get better. Still a great idea.
Well, what needs to get better is Achilles Survivor. That is a new Vampire Survivors,
dude,
like, that I played.
How many fucking Vampire Survivor games are we going to talk about?
Dude, holy it's because shit. They're cheap, dude.
They're cheap,
to make.
And stupid, and they're flooding the market. Stop playing them. You're wasting
they're
your
fun.
Money. They're not fun.
No. Which one have you tried to play?
None of them, because they look fucking boring as shit.
Well, you gotta, you know, you can't be prejudiced, dude. You gotta try things out.
I can be very prejudiced, okay? Very, very prejudiced. It's my thing. I'm just kidding.
So this one, Nick, that makes it different from all the other ones.
It's in Greek times, and the Greek people attack you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who likes Greek stuff anymore? No one. All right, move on. Let's go to Halloween episode, guys.
It has structures. It has crafting survival. No, it has like things that you build. So you can see in the video that like there's these like ghost towers. If you run into them and you stand in the circle long enough, you're building, and you can build a bunch of different things like a cannon tower, or like things that hurt. You can do things that heal. You can do towers that make you money and stuff like that, but you get to choose which one you want. It also takes resources that you get off of the monsters in order to build these things. And so it's definitely different. It adds a whole new layer of the strategy, because you can't stay in one spot. You gotta keep making these structures to get a complete thing. So if you have one that heals you and one that damages them and one that gives you money, but they only happen while you're in the aura of that structure. So you gotta keep moving back and forth and going to the one that's helping you out the most at that time. So that was interesting. The graphics are really good for a Vampire Survivor like. Besides that, oh, I had like two game breaking bugs on three runs. So, but you know, it's a demo. It's fine. Like they can get this thing working. It's not that far. They were like little dumb things. And that's pretty much it.
All right. That's it for Steam Next Fest. How much longer is this going on for? This is till the 21st.
21st. Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah. So it's just about over. Get your demos in, folks. All right. So let's move on to On the Radar. These are games that have caught our attention. And basically this week, at least for me, these were games that I wanted to play, but didn't have a chance to play. And this one is called Supervive. This is a demo that is on Steam Next Fest, and it is a lot of things here. They say this is a free-to-play MOBA battle royale hero shooter. It's a whole lot going on here, and I'm very suspicious when anybody describes a game with just a bunch of popular buzzwords. But
yeah, because it's not a hero shooter. A hero shooter is first person. In
your limited mind.
Yeah. You don't market video games, okay? You don't know anything. You don't know anything about SEO tags, okay?
You gotta expand. So I guess a hero shooter, that usually implies there's like abilities that you have to charge up or build up or are on some sort of cooldown. And it's team-based. The best thing that I can use to describe this game is Battle Right. That was a game from many, many years ago that was very popular for a very brief period of time and then just seemed to instantly vanish. Just interest for the game.
Why does that sound so
familiar? Oh, you probably played it in 2016 or 2017. Battle Right was this. It was like a MOBA, but they just said, let's just throw everybody in and have a brawl, like just one big fight, and it's going to be over in 10 minutes and that's it. You don't need to go to lanes or level or creep or do anything like that. Like, you're just going to fight. There's a bunch of skill shots, and yeah, that's about it. There were other games like it as well, but Battle Right was very, very popular for a while. So this game looks a lot like that. But it does have a jump mechanic. You can jump between areas over ledges, which is very interesting for a top-down game to have that kind of mechanic, especially a game that's like a MOBA. This game is getting a lot of attention. The name, first of all, Supervive. Is that a play on survive? Like, don't just survive, supervive. I don't know.
Oh, I think you're right. Jesus,
if it is,
Christ,
I hate it.
Stupid. I hate it now. This game is.
I know.
Off the
as
fucking...
soon as like that thought went into my head, I'm like, oh my god, I hate this. But maybe that's not what they intended. But the game is getting a lot of attention because many of the developers were from Riot and Blizzard, so they have a lot of experience. It's coming out quarter four 2024, which is right now, so we should be seeing this very soon. It looks like a finished product just from what I've seen. Haven't played it yet, probably will test it out soon, but it looks like it's good to go. One thing that caught my eye when I was reading the description on the Steam page is they said a billion ways to come back and win. You're never out until you're out, which a big problem in MOBAs is how do you balance comeback mechanics? Because you don't want to, it sucks both ways, because if people get really powered, then they steamroll and it just snowballs. And basically if you're on the receiving end of that, you have no reason to play once somebody's, you know, once somebody's gotten juiced, you're just like, okay, game's over. Why even continue? I'll just forfeit. And that's not a good feeling because these MOBA games can be a long time. The other side of that is if you do make a comeback mechanic, apparently people hate that even more because it feels unfair. Like, why did I, you know, I played so well in the early game. I did everything I needed to. I got the kills. Like I was doing really well, and that's not rewarded by like having an advantage in the late game. So now like they can just turn around and win. So basically it feels like the early game doesn't matter. So,
and not just that, but like advanced players can sandbag early on to gain control of the comeback mechanic and then game the system and win every time by giving up a little bit of points in the beginning.
But I don't know if like losing actually, the early games like ever really to your benefit. I mean,
if the comeback mechanic is too strong, yeah, it definitely benefits you.
What do you call it?
There was a lot of that in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. If you get beat up enough, you get your fucking Phoenix Force or whatever the fuck it is.
Super comeback mechanic. It was the stupidest thing in a fighting game, in my opinion.
Well, that was a fighting game. Yeah, I never played that. So, like, my reference really is Heroes of the Storm and other MOBA games. So, other MOBA games are like Smite, what I'm most familiar with. Very traditional. You win the early game, you win the late game, most likely. Like, it has that snowball effect. Heroes of the Storm tried to counter that and make comeback mechanics, but people really hated that because they felt like the early game just didn't matter. So if you won the early game, didn't really guarantee you the late game. You can't really win either way is the point I'm trying to make. So I'm very curious as to how SuperVive is going to handle that.
So what's funny is that I think, when I used to play League, winning the early game doesn't always mean you win the late game. Because there was a lot of early game, mid game, and late game champions, right? There would be champions that would be super strong in the beginning, in like the early game, right? But they fall off so hard after the first 25 minutes. Just the passive income for certain characters really impacted that. Now, are there comeback mechanics in League of Legends? Kind of. There's like Baron and things like that you can steal, and if you get that, it makes you a lot stronger. However, it's for a game to just outright say, hey, we have a comeback mechanic that nothing really needs to be done to be able to achieve it. Yeah, that doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fun. And I don't even fucking play MOBAs anymore. If you added a comeback to mechanic to any game that I played right now, like Space Marine 2, it'd be like, fuck off. Like, I don't want that shit. We kicked your ass and we're going to keep kicking your ass and find a new fucking lobby. Sorry, dude. Like, get better at the game.
I think it also depends on the game, or more specifically the length of the game. When you're playing a 45 minute round in a MOBA, it's more frustrating to lose than it is if you were to play, like, I'm assuming SuperVive is going to be very quick rounds. They've got 2v2 arena, like a free for all or a 4v4, but I'm assuming the rounds are going to be pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, at least for like SuperVive, if they made like a ranked version and they got rid of the comeback mechanic, then I could see it doing well. But you're never going to see a hardcore PvP community in your game playing your game for long form. And if you have something like that, I promise you, you will not.
Let's wait till right now it's a line of text in their advertising. Let's see how it materializes and then we'll talk shit about it once we've played and got fucking buried by the comeback mechanic or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
All right. So what do you got, Nick?
So I ended up, you know, just browsing the announcements page and I saw a familiar face with some new makeup on it. DayZ is essentially having a new DLC. It is snow-based and it's called Frostline. And this is something that's been a rumor since the fucking mod. Back in like 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, or fucking 2 years out of high school, so 2012, so 12 years ago. They were like, everyone was like, did you hear they're going to add like a snow map? Did you hear that they're going to add wolves? Yeah, they're going to kill you. There's going to be new things to kill you besides zombies. And you know what? They did it 12 years later. 12 years later, guys, we got our snow map. Hardest thing in the world. You know, snow. It's the fucking hardest thing to program.
You paint your textures white.
If you couldn't tell, I don't know why, but I'm in a shitty mood. I've had a great day otherwise. I don't know. Probably my hate for Vampire Survivor games.
You got to play one, dude.
No, I refuse to. It's a copy of a mobile game. That's all they are. And it's a copy way to play Diablo. No. It's exactly what it is. So Diablo, there's a build in Diablo 3 where you literally do not attack. It's just passive abilities. And that's where the idea came from. It's the dumbest thing in the world.
So they took the best idea from Diablo and made a game out of it.
Oh, in your face.
No, it's not a game. It's a click a certain direction, essentially, and maybe move some things in an inventory and choose thing. Anyways, what are video games at this point? DayZ it just promises a new map, new vehicles, new weapons, what you'd think instead of a DLC for a DayZ game. Will I play this? No. Do a
How
lot
many
of
hours do you have in the original?
The original? Above 1,200.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, I used to play... It was the only game I played. I abandoned WoW. I abandoned... what I started to play League of Legends, and then I abandoned that as well. And me and one of my friends, it's one of the reasons why our friendship is so good, and we know exactly how each other plays in video games, is we just played that game every day for like 7 or 8 hours a day. We'd get home, eat dinner, play that game until 3 in the morning, go to school the next day, and then do the same thing. And then once we got jobs, we'd go to work, get home, play DayZ, and then go to bed with even less sleep. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think DayZ, like the concept of it is great. The engine is poo-poo. I'm sorry, but it still is. It'll never be smooth like they hope it to be unless they actually just fucking get a new engine. It's like putting makeup on the Bethesda engine. Every time they're like, it's new and improved. And you're like, I still turn like I'm fucking made out of butter. And it's... like there's a fucking piece of wood attached to me. Like it, I don't know. There is with DayZ, I won't be playing this. I'm glad that the game is still alive. I don't know. I'm DayZ'd out, but it's only $25. I don't know if that's a lot or a little for a DayZ DLC. And what's funny is DayZ is still being held up by mods. Like there's still mods for the game that change the game. Like I'm wondering what's the point of buying an official DLC. But yeah.
Yeah, more tools for the modders, maybe. I don't know.
Ooh,
but like, I'm looking at these screenshots, dude, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Wolves. Yeah. About a game about zombies.
So weird. Anyway, there's not one zombie in any of these pictures.
Yeah, there's not, which is weird.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about Path of Exile 2. So it's coming out November 15th. If you don't know what it is, it's an action RPG, Diablo-like. It's free to play. It always has been. Path of Exile 1 was. And they're not very predatory. They do it very cool. They sell you quality of life upgrades. So if you want to, mostly it's the expanding of the inventory. That's how they get you. That's all it is. Like you pay whatever and you get more inventory slots. And that's most of how they make their money, I believe. So convenience and saving you time on a very grindy game. But I've always liked the Path of Exile games. Their skill trees are crazy amounts of intricacies. Like you could go, there's probably like 200 points on each one, and now there's 12 classes and each one has and 600 enemies, 6 axes, and this is all for free. And basically you just pay, I don't know what the pricing is, but you know, you just pay a little more so that you can carry a little more. These games are good. Well, the last game was good. I'm gonna guess that this one's gonna be pretty good.
You know how, like, some of us have been in the drug scene, and you're like, hey, man, you're kind of addicted to this substance. And then that guy goes, man, I am, but still not as bad as this. Or they go, and then that guy goes, I am, but it's not bad as this. And that's Path of Exile, dude. I know people who are still addicted to Path of Exile. Like, they used to be, like, hardcore WoW guys, hardcore whatever, like, League of Legends, hardcore, like, lifer games. And they abandon everything for Path of Exile. They're like, it is the only game I play. It's not because I can't afford games. It's just because it's so fun. I can only play a top-down game for so long before my eyes start to be bored. I think what they're showing here and what the game looks like and everything looks great. I would try it. I like when the beginning of a game comes out like these, where nobody has perfected the builds. It's like, if you're a barbarian, take 2 points in Bloodlust, and like put 1 point in Hacking Slash. And you're like, all right, like at this point, am I playing a game or am I just choosing someone else's build to advance through the game? But I
yeah,
think.
Even if my build is inferior, I'd rather do my own build.
Exactly.
That's how I play these things. And these ones, this one really lets you fucking get in there. I believe, well, the first one, I think you can respec at will. I'm not 100% on that, but
not in the beginning of the game. Nuh-uh. There's a whole shit. So me and my friends tried getting into Path of Exile when Diablo 3 started sucking. And we're like, let's play Path of Exile. And so we played Path of Exile, and one of us fucked up, and we're like, what do we got to do to respec? And I don't know if it's still that now, but back then it was like, you got to get to this certain level, then you got to do this quest line, then you got to find this rare thing, and then you got to make something out of the rare thing with other stuff, and then you can finally respec. And we
were
like,
a weird thing about Path of Exile 2 is Path of Exile 1 is still going to be live. Like, they're not gonna touch that. A lot of times these games
now... Why would
you? Yeah, it's a revenue stream, right? It's bringing in a bunch of money. So I guess having two revenue streams is better than one. It doesn't take that many people to like leave let the first one just continue existing.
They're going to be cutting into their own player base, though.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, but now you have people have nothing on their accounts that need new skins or new things to skip, so they're going to spend more, right? What I will say about Path of Exile is that I am glad that they are saying that, hey, it is going to be on everything. It is going to drop all at the same time. It will be considered early access on all three things, though, because apparently Switch doesn't exist to these people because it's a toaster. But yeah, I don't know. I will be down to try this.
All right.
Because hey, Nick, did you see the new Mario game? Mario and Luigi Brotherhood or something like that.
It's like a seafaring game.
I almost thought they were going to be pirates, dude. But anyway, I was looking. Brothership. That's what it is. And they're on an island that's also a ship. And then that's their base of operations. Anyway, it looks very cool to me. I want to side rail. We have a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
What are our listener questions, Bobby?
Yep, it's time for listener questions, and we've got a few of them here. First one from A. Tom. He asks, what game would you like to see that would be a spinoff of a mainline game featuring a supporting character from a favorite game of yours? You can pick any genre for the game. For me,
That is one fucking question, man. Holy shit.
There's a lot of pieces to that question, but he gives us an example. He says, for me, I would have loved Waka from Final Fantasy X to be in his own Blitzball game. I'm assuming that's pronounced Waka or Waka, but I have not.
It's Waka.
Okay.
Like the Shakira song.
Like Waka Waka.
Waka Waka. Yeah.
All right. I don't know anything about Final Fantasy games except the third one, so I'm a little lost there. But let's see. Let's break this down here. So a spinoff game featuring a supporting character from another game.
Yeah, he's saying like kind of like Puzzle Fighter, where they took Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter.
They made a puzzle game,
which was a spin game, a spinoff.
But are they supporting characters?
I got one for this.
I got one for this too. How about Smite Kart Racing, dude? Like each god has their little kart, dude. That'd be sweet.
And you have your own abilities.
Character. Yeah, they each one have their own little ability. Bobby, come on, you're interested. That would be kind of cool.
Imagine all the racist shit you would say if someone passes by you.
You know, they tried to make a different... They tried to make a Battle Royale type Smite game, and unfortunately that didn't do well. Man, I feel like that development studio has had some tough breaks. Hi-Rez?
Yeah, Hi-Rez is like Legendary Films. They just like... They try a bunch of shit, and every fifth game is a success, and that's what keeps the company going. But I'm glad that there's companies out there that just keeps throwing all the spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks.
What I will say my answer for this is Elden Ring is the atmosphere, and the game type is kind of like Total War. So when you play Elden Ring, a lot of the lore is buried in the books. A lot of the lore is buried in the characters that talk very slowly and methodically and very boisterously sometimes. But you can substitute those by watching a YouTube video by a guy with actual charisma who sounds interesting. When you find out about that world, and like before everything goes to shit, there were these massive wars that were going on with all kinds of cool ass creatures and cool ass units. And you're like, I have an army of toads versus an army of pots that can blow bubbles. And you're like, what is this? It just sounds super interesting. It sounds super fun. If you can play as like Merica or Radahn or any of like the Fingers of Chaos, like anything like that, that would be so cool. And you can command your units and build things. And I don't know, that sounds so cool to me. It's such a cool environment. It's one thing about the From Software games. It's like, bro, I understand your storytelling and you don't want it to get into the way of your gameplay, but please, God in heaven, just get something interesting in there.
Like it is, you know, when you spend so much time building lore for a game, you might as well just split that off into a spinoff.
Yeah.
Even if it's a goofy TV show. Yeah.
Put it in an audio book. I don't know, dude. You have George R. R. Martin writing your lore.
Yeah. Yeah. Bobby, you got one for this? I think we both failed on answering this correctly, but go ahead and shoot your load.
Oh, it's a tough question. You know, the only thing that comes to mind was a character in one of the Tropico games. I think I've only played one or two Tropico games, but I think in 4, you have an advisor named Penultimo who he's very funny. I can't really explain why without doing a borderline racist accent, though, so I'm not going to do that, but just trust me.
Which one is it? What country? Because Emilio might be able to do it.
It's, it's Tropico, so it's like a Banana Republic.
Cuban?
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's always popping up, and he's like giving you suggestions on how, he's like your advisor, and he's advising you on how to run your country, and he's always giving suggestions like assassinating people or doing this or that, all these like nefarious deeds, but in a really humorous way. And I don't know, I just always liked that character, and I think he could hold his own game. Like, I think he could
What genre?
Point and click adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Penultimo goes to the market.
That's a game. I'd buy it just based on the fucking title.
Okay. Next question from Saxos. Have you tested SOVL Fantasy Warfare? Free fun for 30 hours. And
the shit is that?
Yeah, I had never heard of this before. And I looked at it on Steam, and it's interesting.
It's a battle sim. Right?
Yeah, it looks like, I don't know, like maybe D&D, or what's that game that people play with the figurines, like the Warhammer or other type figurines?
Warhammer?
Yeah, Warhammer.
It's just called Warhammer? Okay, I didn't know if it had a special name.
Yeah, Warhammer.
Yeah, it looks like kind of like that, but in
grids?
Yeah, very slimmed down like type of video game there. So I was reading the reviews trying to get a better understanding of what this game was, and yeah, it's, so people have compared it to like a Warhammer Fantasy Battles or an army editor, even. But I don't understand where the 30 free hours comes in.
From the demo, probably. Maybe the demo gives you 30
free
hours.
No, it's free to play.
It's free to play. It's got some DLC.
Oh.
Okay, so I'll kind of describe what this is because I've actually seen this before. So it's a battle simulator where instead of having to run on super high graphics or anything like that for Total War, instead you're given plain unit cards that are flat on a 2D field, right? And those unit cards, like, for example, it's like there's zombies and there's like cavalry and things like that. And the game plays through the actual like mechanics of the game, essentially like step by step. It's like your cavalry charges through their infantry and then their infantry is broken. And then like each thing happens one at a time. It's not live. It's very interesting. Some actions can be done at the same time, but most of it's like this unit moves, this unit moves, this unit moves. Like you put in your thing, you put in your reactions turn by turn.
Mm.
What's called in the tabletop world is a battle system. It's the idea that you could transfer this into any universe, and have other characters and just change the stats a smidge and play the game the same way, right? You can play Warcraft 3 with the like units. You can have orcs and you can have bowmasters and you can have frostworms and you can have all these other things. And that they already have a placement for flying units and artillery units and cavalry units. And then you can also do the same thing for fucking Warhammer Fantasy and then like or Lord of the Rings. And the idea is that it's kind of like it's a mechanic. It's very similar to the way where people talk about D&D 5th edition, where they're like, it's a great game battle mechanic, but it's a terrible game. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to say until you look into it and you find out like other game systems are very intricate or not as intricate, but really it's up to whoever wants to play it. This is not my kind of game. I do like my graphics and my units and my characters and my voice acting. So.
Okay. Well, he also mentioned some board games that he recommends. Furnace Earth, Libertalia, Winds of Galecrest, and Small World. Now, out of all these tables...
For a second, I thought that was one game. Like, because I was looking at the... I was still looking at the other game. And you're like, Furnace Earth, Libertaria, Winds of Galecrest. I was like, wow. Wow.
Quite a title.
Remember, everybody, Emilio does not see commas.
Yeah.
Out of all these games, so I looked them up on BoardGameGeek.com, and I like that website. They give you lots of ratings and stuff and explain the games very well. Out of all these, the highest rated one was Earth. That was also the newest one coming out in 2023. But out of all these tabletop board games, I've only heard of Small World, and I've heard people speak positively of that, but I'm not really familiar with too many of these.
Nobody.
7.7. Nobody. That's pretty high on. They are brutal, man. Like to get a 9, I don't think there's even a 9 on this website, or 9. Like there's not very many.
I think what's interesting about this is that we should never tell Sniper about it, because if we do, we'll lose our publisher and editor.
Yeah.
Or producer. Yeah. He loves board games and board game worlds and then being transferred into PC games. So yeah, we would definitely lose him.
This is a pretty game. I'm looking at
you know, what's funny is the
Earth.
Oh, Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got some nice artwork. All right. Yeah. And Saxos also said, keep the sweet podcast going.
Thanks, Saxos.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks, dude. Also, we've got a sub that we forgot to mention. Atom subscribed for 13 months. He says, boo. Giving his little Halloween scare there. All right. And I believe that is it. What's everybody playing next week?
I am going to be in Mexico City. So whatever I can play between in the next 4 days, which is... And Nick, I've been having a blast playing with you, especially that one night we played Space Marine all night. I had such a good time, man. I really haven't had a fucking multiplayer
experience
like that in so long. Like,
what sucks is we won't be able to talk about it for a long time. Yeah, we'll probably have another one of those because me and Leslie, you know, go to school and we're kind of free at night sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll definitely check that out again. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. We'll talk about it later, but Space Marine, like, in under the right circumstances, can be an amazing fucking game. So it's probably going to be Space Marine if I can get these guys to play with me, or more Magic Commander. I mean, I love it. I think it's so fun.
It's just nice to talk to people, right? Like, when you're playing and somebody's Yeah, it's just nice to be able to talk to people while you're playing and kind of chit-chat. And, like, if you have nothing better to do, it's always nice to just play Commander.
And every game is a story, you know? Like, I feel like...
You lost because you couldn't do math again.
Yeah, dude. I almost won my first game. And I gave it up because I was being overzealous.
Yeah.
Bobby?
Well, I should mention that next week we are going to be releasing our Halloween episode. If you're listening live, stick around because we're going to be recording that coming up. So everybody's going to be out of town. Nobody's going to be available to record. So we're going to have to record that one early. But after that, who knows what I'm going to be playing. If Supervive, the demo, is still around, I'm going to check that out, at least see what it's all about. But other than that, who knows? We'll see.
All right, speak for, unless you got something, Nick, that's out of what I was saying.
Nope, Space Marine or also Commander. Yeah, yeah, homework, dude. Homework, lots of homework. Like, apparently my new classes have quite a bit of homework.
Speaking for Nick, Bobby, and myself, boobies. Almost made Bobby smile. Almost.